Hello and welcome to CIFAR Sounding. I'm your host, Simba Wiltz.
And I'm Asla Gonser.
CIFAR Sounding is a production of Central Florida Animal Reserve,
where we engage the world of the big cats through our mottos of compassion, conservation, and commitment.
At CIFAR, when it comes to big cats, it's about vision.
You can find out more about us on our website at cflar.org.
We're also on social media. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/cflar and on Twitter at cflarbigcats.
We also have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/CFL Animal Reserve. So it's been a while since we've had updates on the cats and what's going on at the facilities and such. So let's do some rapid fire headline news. So I'm going to ask a question, and then I'm going to ask the classic who, what, when, where, why, and how, and
okay,
see what you come up with.
All right, let's get my shoulder squared here.
All right, remember, rapid fire.
Hit me.
So tell us what's going on with the tigers. Who?
Inila and Ohitika.
What?
They weren't feeling too well.
When?
A few weeks ago.
Where?
In their enclosures.
How? Why?
Well, there's the million-dollar question. We're not entirely sure what happened.
How? That doesn't seem to be applicable this time, does it?
No, although it does make sense that how they ended up getting better. We did have the vet come up and took a look at them. You know, we've got older cats, so therefore sometimes they have these spells where they are not feeling too hot, but both of them recovered really well. We're happy to see them eating, gaining weight, being interested in the world again. Very good.
Sounds good. Let's move on to the next set of animals. What about the lions? Who?
Colakisia.
What?
Had surgery.
When?
Last week.
Where?
At the facility, of course, but...
Why?
Started to notice signs of potential infection.
How?
We watched the cats very closely, and at a certain point, she stopped eating and was having a little bit of discomfort and discharge, so we told our vet about it, and he said that it might be a good idea to spay her to prevent any future heat-related issues.
So everything's good now?
Everything seems good. Cola went through the surgery very well, was very stable the whole process, and has been giving everyone a nice hard time since then. And if she is still in the recovery enclosure when we have member day, then people will actually be able to see her.
Okay, that sounds like fun.
Could be for her. She likes people,
well,
especially to make them jump.
Make the people jump?
Yes.
Oh, good. All right, so let's move on to the next set of animals. What do you say about cougars? Who?
Cheyenne.
What?
Likes water.
When?
Anytime that it seems to get warm.
Where?
Especially in her tub.
Why?
Now there's the million-dollar question. What's this cougar doing liking water?
That
most
is
of the
a good
cougars
question.
Don't actually like water all that much, but yet here she is getting in her tub and enjoying the fresh bubbles whenever we're filling it.
And of course there's the how.
How she enjoys it is many times when we're changing her water, she first will be eating and then she will walk over to the tub and be trying to get a drink out of there while we're still filling it. This usually is causing various splashes and bits of water flying all over the place, but instead of being afraid of it, she actually has sat there and drank while the thing is being filled. We even captured some video of her getting in the tub.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, if anybody's following us on Instagram or looking at any of our social media a couple of weeks ago, you probably would have seen Cheyenne trying to bite the water stream as it came out of the hose. Got a lot of play. A lot of people saw that and thought it was funny.
Okay, so how about the leopards? Who?
Gypsy.
What?
Gypsy has been actually getting a lot better with her skin.
When?
This has taken place over the last couple of weeks.
Where?
Particularly around her face and shoulders area.
Why?
We think it has something to do with the change in weather.
How?
By having a little bit better weather, or perhaps either a reduction in the allergens from spring, or just simply things being washed out of the air, she seems to be doing a lot better and is still picking her people in terms of who she's going to actually take meds from and who she's not, but she's doing quite well.
So I think we deserve to at least have the small critters mentioned as well. So do you have a who for the small critters?
Yes. I'm going to say Jenny.
What?
Jenny is a jennet becoming more sociable.
When?
Process has been taking the course of a couple of months now.
Where?
inside her enclosure, especially when we have people come by to take care of her.
Why?
Well, ever since she has been moved outside, she's becoming more sociable because the volunteers have been working with her more often and letting her explore her world a little bit more.
How?
Usually, cleaning up Jenny involves trying to get the old shavings out and replace it with new shavings, pull out all of the refuse and old food and whatnot. And during that time, Jenny will come over and actually stand on people's heads. She seems to have an affinity for people with long hair as well. And I've observed this grooming behavior where she has decided that she's going to groom the hair on the top of someone's head and will stand with both paws up there and just knead away.
Seems like that would hurt.
Well, Jenny, being a Jennet, she doesn't have exactly extending claws, but they're semi-retractable. And she seems to keep them well under control. And she is a very small thing. Her paws are maybe about the size of a quarter, maybe a little larger. So she's tiny, and so it doesn't seem to bother people too much. In fact, I hear a lot of giggling. I think she's just likes tickling people.
Well, I'm glad that she's becoming more social.
Yeah. Of course, you'll have to give me another because we've had another very interesting encounter with a critter that isn't exactly ours.
All right, well, let's try that. Mm-hmm. Who?
Our lady hawk.
What?
Lady hawk is a red-tailed hawk.
When?
Over the last couple of weeks, especially while we're feeding the little critters.
Where?
Over by the little critters area seems to be the prime candidate.
Why?
Well, when we feed the little critters, we have to put the food down on a table that's out there while we go and unlock the actual gate.
How?
Well, what she's decided that she's going to do is surprise us by stealing some of our bowls and trays. While people are trying to feed the little critters, they'll suddenly hear a rustle and a ding noise and turn around and bowls have been taken, pans have been taken. She's figured out that that's where we have to sit the stuff in order to feed them. And so our hawk has turned into hunting the food that we're giving to the little critters.
So she takes the entire pan with her?
Entire pans and bowls have disappeared, and it just happens in a flash.
That's amazing.
She's always been a part of the facility, you know, as usually hanging out in the trees. Sometimes we'll see her with a mate, but she's gotten very bold recently, and we think that it might be because she may have a clutch that she's got that she's trying to prepare for. But I imagine that there's probably going to be a little bit of stainless steel in that nest somewhere, wherever she takes it off to.
Seems like that wouldn't be very hospitable for a nest, but
I don't know. You know, hawks are extremely strong and extremely talented. These are not small pans. The bowls are small, you know, maybe enough to keep in a talon. It might be a cup-sized bowl, stainless steel. But the trays can oftentimes be, you know, 14 by 11 inches.
One of these days you're going to see a tank up in the tree that she's being built by all the stainless steel she's stealing.
Yeah, you have to wonder.
So that's a pretty good update of all the animals at the facility. So let's talk about what else is going on at the facility, and maybe I won't do the rapid fire thing for this. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll give you a chance to dig in a little bit more.
All right. So what's happening?
Well, the biggest thing happening is our upcoming Member Day.
Yeah, we always enjoy Member Day. It's a lot of fun.
Right. May 17th from 12 to 5. This is the chance for all the members to come out and see the cats on site and get a chance to be on the ground with the people and the cats and the organization that they have come to support.
Yes, you get to do tours that day. I'll be playing music. There's lots of great things to purchase as far as posters and pictures and t-shirts and all kinds of things like that. We'll even have hot dogs and hamburgers and always lots of water because it could be a hot day. But it's a fun day out there to do the tour and listen to some music and get a chance to speak to the volunteers and probably get a chance to meet Simba and myself.
I thought it might be fun to go through and try and describe a little bit more in detail all the various little things that you'll probably see and some things that you're going to want to know as you're walking through a Member Day.
Okay, tell us about that.
Well, Member Day is done on a tour basis. So when you're actually in the facility with the cats, you'll be on tour with one of our four senior handlers. And what's interesting about this is that people like to take multiple tours because the story of the cats is not just one story. It's a story that comes with various perspectives and the cats treat people differently depending on how they know them and what that cat has developed as a relationship. So it's really neat to be able to hear all the stories of the cats, knowing that each person may tell the same cat story differently, but that's due to the nature of the relationship.
Yeah, so each of the handlers has their own outlook on how those stories came out.
Exactly. A great example is right at the beginning, because the first tigers that you'll meet are Hoekstewin and Woozer, are the youngest cats on the facility. We like to tell people about how they have such very different personalities, whereas Woozer has always been very much a people's cat and Wynn has been more of handler's cat. But what's interesting is that Woozer at one point started kicking people out of his circle pretty rapidly for a while. And so if you were to hear, for example, Sharon tell the story, Sharon and Woozer have always gotten along very well. But during part of his adolescence, Woozer and I certainly were not getting along very well. And so I was keeping my distance from who at the time was a very unpleasant tiger to be around. Whereas Wynn would always be kind of my defender. And so she still loves to come up and say hi and to nuzzle and be close. And sometimes she'll give Woozer a hard time when he's trying to give me a hard time. Even though he's changed a lot now, as he's gotten older, he's become a lot nicer to everyone.
That's interesting that he's changed personality, but I guess that happens to all of us. As we get older, some of us become more grumpy and some of us become more nice. You never know, right?
Right. And surely Wynn is definitely the one who's gotten the grumpy streak on occasion. The two of them go back and forth with who's on top that particular week, especially when it comes to the food-related stuff. Woozer has traditionally been the food-aggressive cat. You can always rely on Woozer to go after the food. But Wynn occasionally will get into that mode as well, and she will have him locked down just as hard as any other cat.
So how old are Wynn and Woozer?
They're going to be 10 this year.
Oh, okay. So even though they're the youngest, that's still not a young cat.
Right, right.
So what's the next stop on our tour?
Well, the next stop actually takes you back out and around. You'll pass Chante's enclosure, Chante Skoya, the Asiatic leopard. Chante is another one of our older residents, born in 1998. Not as active as he used to be, but he is still our only normal-colored spotted leopard at the moment and does take great pleasure in laying out in the sun during Member Day and giving great big hisses to the audience as they stand by and watch.
So he enjoys that.
Sometimes I wonder. He may be laying there and perfectly benign and pretending like he's not paying attention to anything, but if you say something directly to him, "Hi, Chante," then he will give you a big fat hiss and a growl and proceed to do nothing more but just give you the hiss and growl.
Well, that seems kind of a little bit of a grumpy reaction too, huh?
Yeah, he's just letting us know that, yeah, he's still there, kind of your old curmudgeonly leopard.
So who's next on our tour?
Well, this will take us back out and around, and people get a chance to see the heart of the facility so they can see the coolers and freezers that we use to keep the cats fed and to keep their food safe, as well as where we do a lot of the food prep and the center of the facility, which houses a lot of the oldest parts of the facility. Some of that stuff was made at the turn of the century. Then we have several cats that are there watching everyone, including Charger and Masunkula, who have very different reactions. Charger, who tends to get wound up by all the people coming around, will oftentimes be seen peeking over the edge of his shade cloth, trying to make sure that these interlopers don't get too close, whereas Masunkula can probably be watching from on his back on the ground, just as cool as a cucumber and ready to say hi to anybody that's coming by.
So he's a little bit more social, let's say.
Well, he's a little bit more playful. He is not threatened by people. In fact, people are a great source of enjoyment for him, especially the volunteers who walk by will sometimes end up getting a surprise from Masunkula as he will get deep into his tub, make sure that his fur is thoroughly soaked, and then leap out and soak the person as they walk between this narrow passage.
You think he does that on purpose?
Absolutely.
You do? Okay.
Absolutely. It's totally premeditated. He knows that people are coming. He's got the paws all out and ready, and he's crouched down in the water. He's just got it all worked out.
That's just great. Goes back to one of the shows we had previously about whether they actually have humor. It sounds like they do.
Well, when he decides he wants to make you wet.
So where do we go from here?
Well, we're going to head back to the back of the facility and get to meet Raja. Raja, who is the first cat as we enter in through the back gate. He is absolutely one of our more popular kitties. In fact, another video was recently posted of him giving his pre-feeding moo.
Moo,
yes. The moaning noise that he makes before he's getting fed turned out to be a very popular video because he's also rubbing his cheek up against the side of the enclosure. And if you put your hand on the side of the video just right, it looks like he's trying to nuzzle you. Of course, that's only if you're female because he's not all that fond of guys.
Yeah, that is interesting. So how does he react to you?
Well, I was able to get this mooing video, but shortly after that, he then promptly discouraged me from staying there and getting any more because he was hungry, I think, and he wanted to move on. Raja mooing is always a hilarious indicator that the cat means business. Oh, there he goes.
That does sound like a cow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
So Raja mooing, he may give you a moo if you're ever at Member Day. You may actually hear him make this noise. If it's to one of his favorite female volunteers, then he'll oftentimes ask for a scratch on the shoulder or otherwise. But keep an eye on his body language. He is very interesting, especially if you go to different tours. You can see how he reacts to different people differently, whereby he may make the same motion, but it's in the subtleties that will tell you really what he's thinking. Good example, if he's rubbing his cheek up against the fence and his eyes are open and he's looking directly at who he's rubbing, then it's probably more of an aggressive rub than if his eyes are closed and he's really leaning in hard. Many times that's him looking for affection.
That's interesting. Very different reaction as far as aggression versus affection, obviously.
Sure. These kinds of behaviors are awesome to see at Member Day.
Okay, so where do we go after we've mooed with Raja?
After we've mooed with Raja, then we get to see Honey and Joaquin, a white tiger and orange tiger who have cohabitated for the last couple of months wonderfully. We meet Kunsi and Nathaniel, who lion and tiger, who have been together since they were cubs. And of course, our cougars, who have been together as a group for a number of years now, especially Cheyenne, who is the queen of the cougars, the oldest resident who was born in 1996.
1996.
Then we head down the center of the facility, which gives everybody a good up-close look at all of the cats. If Cola is still in the recovery suite, then you'll get a chance to see Cola, the large African lioness who normally doesn't get seen, but does like to have people around. So she'll be lounging out there, as well as Hota and Quinn, the originators of the Snuggly Sunday movement. These two boys have been loving on each other for years and finally gotten their due in terms of having started this trend.
Snuggly Sunday movement. That sounds like fun.
Especially for the cats.
So you say Cola actually does like people, but generally isn't on the tour because of where her enclosure is?
Yes, her enclosure is closer to the back of the facility in an area that's just not convenient to get people through there in an orderly fashion. So when we do make the transition, she will be in a much more prominent position to greet all visitors that come to her kingdom.
Well, that'll be nice. So where do we go from there?
From there, we continue down the path and we can meet Gypsy, the African leopardess that we talked about before. You may or may not actually see her because she is melanistic. Being a melanistic leopard means that she is almost like a daytime shadow. So she will disappear directly into shadows, even during the middle of the day. And sometimes people are marveling just to see the pair of floating, glowing eyes and occasionally pearly white teeth.
That's interesting. So she's got some good shade in her enclosure that she can hide in then, obviously.
Well, it's not spectacularly shaded. It's really no different than any other tree shade. It's just the way that her coat and the color of her coat just causes her to disappear, where all of her features just kind of disappear. She can become a blob almost.
That's interesting.
Yeah, at night we would have no chance.
Even her eyes? You'd see her eyes.
No, we probably wouldn't even see her eyes.
All right. So after we've sort of seen Gypsy, only the shadow knows, where do we go?
Directly across from Gypsy is Kukla, who oftentimes is hiding out during Member Day, but sometimes graces people with her presence. She's a little cougar. She is maybe about 75 pounds soaking wet, something that usually I would not recommend for any cougar. but she is also our smallest resident, but she has the conformation of a Florida panther, even though she's a Western cougar.
A conformation of a Florida panther? What does that mean?
Well, in terms of her size and coloration, she could pass for a Florida panther, excepting one key feature is she's got the bluish eyes that are a gift from her mother.
Okay, so she's not all panther, but sort of looks like one.
No, she looks exactly like a Florida panther.
Really? Okay.
And size and all. In fact, she would be pretty small for a Western cougar.
Okay, so once we've seen the blue eyes of Kukla, where do we go?
Our last cat group in the tour is Wachasha and Ohini. Wachasha and Ohini have also cohabitated for quite some time, Wachasha being a very big white tiger who has a strong affinity for food.
I thought all the tigers had a strong affinity for food.
Not like this fellow. Okay. Wachasha has the distinction of at one point being called the Great White Sausage because he just was fantastic at being able to get both his food and then run off his enclosure mate to get her food as well. So we tried to avoid that by feeding them a little bit separately in terms of time to give her a chance to actually eat. But Wachasha is a big tiger, and Ohini is one of the smaller tigers that we have. She's not the smallest, but she's on the smaller side, probably about half the size of Wachasha. And she is also one that has some vision problems on occasion, so we have to handle her very specially to make sure she can find her food when we actually put it down.
So why does she have vision problems, do we know?
Has a lot to do with her eyes. We think that it's kind of an overdeveloped reflective membrane. Even when you take and look at pictures of her, her eyes are almost a glowing emerald in the middle of the day. And a lot of that has to do with that reflective membrane.
Okay.
She certainly can see. She can see, she can track, but it seems to be that she sees better in lower light.
That's interesting. So where do we go from here?
Well, from there, we get a chance to see the little critters, and hopefully we don't get a spontaneous visit from the hawk, and we can go back to the front and dream and talk about all the good stuff that we're working on for our new facility.
Absolutely. That'll be a lot of fun. So do people come and often do more than one tour in a day?
We do. We have several people who love to do the multiple tours because you're going to get different flavors with different groups.
Right.
And even the questions end up differently. Whether the group has children on the tour, that can guide and change the questions versus when it's just adults.
So it'll be interesting if Lady Hawk decides to come down and nest in somebody's long hair while they're going through the tour, huh?
Yeah, or, you know, snatch a child or something along those lines. We think that'd be a little bold, but not putting anything past her.
Right. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun to do that tour, and then we can just go and sign up and do another one afterwards, and of course get to hear me play some music in between, so it's all good stuff, right?
Right. This is leading up to the very important topic of what we're doing at the new facility.
Absolutely.
So at the new facility, we have not talked about that in a while, but construction has been continuing, which is exciting for us, exciting and terrifying for us at the same time.
Now, why terrifying?
Well, we're just getting closer to actually being done. The closer that we can get this to get done, the sooner we can get it done, the sooner we can start making this incredible move that we'll have to make. But in terms of construction, all of the barn superstructures are up. So that means that now we've been in the process of framing the parts that are under the barn so that they can become the actual enclosures.
Framing with the wire, you mean? Or what do you mean?
Framing it with the wood. The wood has to attach to the wire. So if you can picture a pole barn where you've got this towering roof that hovers 12, 14 feet in the air, and that's held up by these thick 8x8 squares, these thick 8x8 pressure-treated wood squares, then strung between them, and it's about a 12-foot span between the various poles, strung between them, are the 4x6 wood that is going to be the top and the bottom rails that will hold the chain link up against the actual enclosure.
So if it's 4x6, so is it 4 feet high then, the framing at the bottom?
4x6 is the type of wood, so it's 4 inches by 6 inches.
Oh, inches. Yeah, okay.
That's the width and thickness. Now, the length is basically across the 12-foot span.
Right, okay. And eventually, once the framing is in place, you'll be putting in the fencing-type wiring that will become the enclosure itself.
Right. That's when the chain link goes up, and it's not light stuff. We're talking about 9-gauge chain link, and that's going to go up. Tension bars will be placed so that it can stay nice and taut and resist the pressures of the cats leaning up against them. And then for certain enclosures, the lions in particular, because they are digging animals, we have to put a special skirt that goes around the bottom of the rails. So we excavated out a trench that is basically about 3 feet deep and 3 feet into the enclosure, and attached the chain link to that bottom rail and run it underground so that when it's finally buried, it will have a dig prevention that the cats won't be able to dig out.
That makes sense. So what about the shift enclosures? What about the doors between those and such? How is that going to be made?
Oh, great question. So in order to make the shifts, and this is actually a project that we have started, we've made our first set of shifts so that we can see how they work, prototype them out. They attach to the outside of some of the enclosures, and for other ones, they attach towards the center of the barn. Now, if you can picture a very, very long barn, you know, 72 feet long, or in some cases, 84 feet long, towards either end of that barn is where most of the enclosure is. And there's a small sliver of area in the center, which is going to house the shift enclosures as well as the access points that will allow us as people to go into the enclosures and do all the cleaning that we need.
Okay.
So that pattern repeats over all 15 of the barn superstructures that are around and about the facility. And we are rapidly trying to get all of that together so we can get that chain link hung and start turning these things into homes.
So are the shift gates going to be similar to the ones that are at the facility today?
They're going to be similar to our latest models, which involve wrought iron gates that are welded and honeycombed with special wire and have handles so that it will become a lot easier for the volunteers of all strength levels to pull the gate open and to push it closed, which will allow the cats to go in and out of shift as necessary. The shift gates do require a certain degree of strength, and so for people who are trying to pull it and can't quite muster it, it's a lot of pressure because of the security needs of making sure that that shift gate doesn't move. But we have developed a mechanism and a design that will allow that shift gate to move a lot easier. And because these are constructed under the barns and the cats won't be as exposed to some of the elements, we don't anticipate to have the same kinds of issues with water runoff and water intrusion into those metal components.
So it sounds like the facility is well on its way. What about the other parts of the facility? Is there going to be like a front office area being built or an area with storage? How about that stuff?
Well, there is going to be a maintenance area, which is actually already on site that we're using to store some of the equipment that we're using. There is going to be a volunteer office up front, which will also double as kind of a food prep area. And also the landscaping, we're really excited about this landscaping, in part because we are going to be having the benefits of the Native Plant Society and a prospective Eagle Scout candidate who wants to make this an Eagle project.
Oh, that sounds great. So we'll be using Florida native plants for the landscaping.
Exactly. And to add to that, we have another Eagle Scout candidate who is currently working to help build some of the dens in those enclosures that don't have the concrete culverts that were donated. So very excited about that as well.
Oh, okay. So some of the enclosures aren't going to use the culverts for dens. They're going to build them out of wood similar to what they are at the facility today?
Well, it's going to be a special kind of wood. It's called BTW. It's a composite wood that we field tested actually at our current facility. Charger and Musunkula have had a BTW den for the better part of 7 years now. And not once have they managed to actually tear up any of the decking, and they have barely actually scratched it. So it's been a fantastic long-term solution that can stand up to the weather as well as stand up to the cats.
And as we talked about before, just to give the details to the listeners, Some of the dens are going to be made out of culverts. Can you explain that?
Culled culverts come from CMEX, who was a featured philanthropist in one of our newsletters. And these culls were culverts that, for whatever reason, were not able to be used in their original construction projects. It could be that they had a little bit of a chip on one end, or they had a crack on one side that didn't allow them to connect as evenly, and so the whole thing had to be discarded. So they have donated them to us, thankfully, and so we have these magnificent round culverts that can be any. Some of them are 3 feet, 3.5 feet tall, 4 feet wide, and some of the really huge ones are almost 5 feet tall, 5 feet in diameter, round.
Wow, that is huge, yeah.
Well, the good news is that because of their length, each one of them is about 10 feet long, so they are just the right length so that they can be placed as is in the enclosure and the cats can jump in.
Oh, okay, so you just leave them as they are, rounded.
Yeah.
Okay. What about scaffolding for some of the cats that like to jump around and such?
Ah, these are going to be future projects, especially for those cats that are arboreal or aerial. The cougars and the leopards are going to probably have some platforms that we'd be looking for some help with getting built so that they can enjoy some elevated platforms, elevated areas. And they also, of course, have the culverts in both of their enclosures, which will give them a nice high vantage point to look down on the world.
I'm sure they'll love that. How about the small animals? What are you guys doing for their homes?
Well, we had one person who was just terribly eager to make a turtle enclosure, and so they dug out a fantastic turtle moat, which is really neat. It's got a nice little step in it for the humans to get in, and plenty of room for the turtles to have their own roaming zone. And the little critters will also have enclosures that'll be coming along as well. They will be able to be a lot larger. Not too large, because they don't need a ton of space, but they will certainly be larger. So stay tuned, and there'll be more updates as they come.
So this will be our last member day at the old facility, more than likely.
We don't know that.
That's true, we don't know that.
But with the help of everybody who is going to be at the member day, as well as a little bit of luck and a lot of diligence, we hope to get a lot of this completed this summer so that we can start really seriously talking about moving cats towards the last part of this year.
CFAR Sounding is a production of Central Florida Animal Reserve,
where we engage the world of big cats through our mottos of compassion, conservation, and commitment.
At CFAR, when it comes to big cats, it's about vision.
Send us your thoughts. You can get us on email via contact@cflar.org.
Tune in again next week for more discussion. My name is Asla Gonser.
And I'm Simba Wiltz. Thanks for listening to CFAR Sounding.